Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you, Father, for your presence and for your faithfulness. We know that you are with us. We know that you're here, that your presence is here, because there's more than two, and your word says you'll be here. But Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this time in your word. We love your word. And Father, we set this time aside so that we can fellowship with you in the word. We open our hearts to receive the seed of the word. And we thank you, Father, for the harvest that it will bring in our lives. Open the eyes of our understanding with revelation knowledge tonight as we study this living word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The title for tonight is The Fruit of Faithfulness, which let's do our little foundational statement. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are faithful to God and His living word. They walk a life of faith anchored in God's living word. And since we've been studying for about two-thirds, I guess, of this study on walking in the ways of the Lord, we've been using the fruit of the Spirit because they are His character. So they're supposed to be ours. So I'm going to read again, since we're starting another subject here, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's the New King James Version. And as we mentioned when we started on the fruit of faith, that word there used can be translated faith or faithfulness, and both are correct. As we go through this, we already done a study on faith. It was not complete by any means, but we brought out the points that we needed for our study on the fruit. Like all the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness flows out of love. All of the fruit of the Spirit is founded in love. It's part of God's very character. Since God is love, all of these fruits flow from love. It's also mentioned first, and that's why it's mentioned first. Flow out of love. Faithfulness, like all of the fruit of the Spirit, require the other fruits to flow in fullness. They draw on one another. If you don't have one of the fruits functioning in your life, that weakens the other fruits. In order for any of the, like for faithfulness, for example, for any of the fruits to develop, you have to be faithful.
You have to be faithful.
Yeah. If you're not faithful, the other fruits won't develop. So, and they all require faith. They all require love. They all require goodness. They all require, every one of them has a connection to the other fruits.
Yeah, right.
They all draw on one another. So as you look at your life and look at these fruits, you can see maybe an area where you're not quite so good. Maybe you're not a very gentle person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an area you need to develop. You can develop it. Peter talks about developing these,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't start with love. He starts the other way. He ends with love.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's teaching how to build it, how to build. They're basically the same, but they're looking at it from two different angles. So while one starts with love, the other one ends with love. Like all of the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness flows out of love. Faithfulness, like all the fruit of the Spirit, require the other fruits to flow in fullness. They draw on one another. And if you're weak in one, then it weakens the other fruits. The fruit of the Spirit does not come from a natural source. It comes from God. The fruit of faithfulness is the kind of faithfulness that God has. If we are born again, His faithfulness is in us.
Amen.
We need to remember, this is not something that is foreign to us. It's because God is faithful. It's part of His very character. When we get born again, we're born of who? We're born of God. His Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes and lives within us. The faithfulness of the fruit of the Spirit is God's faithfulness.
Yeah, that's right.
That He gave us and that we can walk in. We can walk in the faithfulness of God by the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells in us. Faith and faithfulness both come from the same Greek word as we studied a few weeks ago when we started on faith. And I can't pronounce that Greek one, but it's in as pistis. It can be translated either way, either or both ways. Mm. Both are correct. Mm-hmm. God is faithful. Mm-hmm. He is faith. Mm-hmm. So it can be translated and be perfectly right. And it is throughout Scripture. It's translated both ways. Okay. Now the King James calls it faith. Several other versions call it faith, translated faith here. Mm-hmm. Other ones translate it faithfulness. Mm-hmm. The Weiss translation says benevolence. Webster's dictionary definition for faithfulness is a noun. Number one is fidelity, loyalty, yeah. Firm adherence to allegiance and duty. And that word firm is important because you just don't walk in loyalty. I mean, you're firmly affixed to loyalty. It's something that you are. Number two is truth, veracity, as the faithfulness of God, or it's faithfulness of God itself. Three, strict adherence to injunctions and to the duties of a station, mm-hmm. as the faithfulness of servants or ministers.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yes, ma'am?
The message says, we develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments.
Yes.
Not needing
that's good.
To force our way yeah. in life.
Yeah, I didn't go, I got the message on there, but I didn't go to that one.
Yeah, well, the messages were way out of the...
Yeah, the passions yeah. is similar. Number four. Strict performance of promises. The word strict is important because you will do what you said you would do. The strict performance of promises, vows or covenants. Constancy in affection as the faithfulness of a husband or a wife. Mm-hmm. So that's what faithfulness is according to Webster. Faithfulness, honor, trustworthiness, integrity, steadfastness, commitment, and diligence work together. There are all types of faithfulness. A faithful person, a person walking in this fruit, mm-hmm. will be a person of honor.
Honor
will be high in their lifestyle. They'll be trustworthy in whatever they do because they are faithful. They'll walk in integrity. Mm-hmm. They'll be people of integrity in their business, in their life, in their relationships. They'll be steadfast. They're hard to move off of what they are faithful to. They are committed. They're committed to whatever they're faithful to. They're committed to that. You have a hard time moving them away from that commitment. And they're diligent. They're diligent. These are things that you'll see in someone that's walking in this fruit of faithfulness. Now, can you see this, those characteristics in a person that's not born again, that's not a child of God? Yes. But it's very rare in these times. Now, a century ago, there was more people that it was a normal character that families were taught. Even though they didn't know Jesus, they still walked in a form of faithfulness, and you'd see these characteristics working.
Well, it had to be somebody you could count on.
Yeah. They had to be able to count on because they didn't have, a neighbor was 5 miles away maybe or whatever. You know, you're in the wilderness or whatever, and you had to be able to count on each other. So there was a degree of faithfulness even in those people that were not born again,
yeah.
simply because of the lifestyle they had to live.
Uh-huh.
You know, but this person that's born again, this should be commonplace for a person that's God's child.
Yeah, it sounds very military to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you see that in churches today? Not.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say it that way, but, you know, we have to start showing that. If you are not a faithful person, the opposite of these will work together. So if you're not a faithful person, or you're not walking in faithfulness, you will not be honorable. You will not be trustworthy. You may be a good guy, but you can't trust the guy. His word's not any good. He won't have integrity. The person won't have integrity in what he does. He may do something in a way with a kind of a form of integrity as long as he's watched over. But that won't be that way if you're not watching him. He's not a person of integrity. He's not steadfast. He's wishy-washy in whatever he does. He's not committed to anything unless it benefits him to some degree. But this faithful person, he's committed whether it benefits him or not. And they're most certainly not diligent if they're not the person, if a person is not faithful.
Well, and you gave a sermon one time years ago when we had our church about, are you coming to church because you're committed, or are you coming to church because you're under obligation?
There's a big difference in it. That was a hard one.
Yeah, and you know what? Some people never came back.
Exactly. They were not.
They weren't committed.
They were not committed. See, and that's a difference.
We're under obligation.
Are you committed to God, or are you obligated to Him? Mm-hmm. Obligation to God doesn't work very well, but commitment does. Faithfulness is the result of our faith. Without faith, you cannot be faithful. Not the fruit of faithfulness. You cannot walk in it. You have to be a faith person in order to walk in faithfulness. Faithfulness enables us to be faithful to God and to man. This fruit, which God put in us, Himself, was put in us so that we can be faithful to God and faithful to man. He gave us the tools we need to walk in that kind of faithfulness. If I'm faithful to God, even though it's going to cost me something to do this thing over here, but I know it's not right, so I'm faithful to God, even though it might cost me a job, even though it might cost me a friendship, or worse yet, kill me.
Yep, kill me.
Yes. Yeah, and that happens even today.
Oh, yeah.
It happened in the book of Acts. It's happened throughout the before Jesus went to the cross, and it happened after Jesus went to the cross. Faithful people had to stand up and say, no, I will not deny God. I will not deny Jesus. And they get killed. But that's faithfulness. It is abnormal for a born-again Christian to be unfaithful.
Abnormal.
You need to think about some of these statements. It is abnormal. Because why? We're born of God. His very essence lives in us. And if we are born again, children of God, amen, we should walk in integrity and honor. Unfaithfulness.
You're right. We should be the most honorable people.
It should be.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they don't think that. People don't think that way. They think, well, I can get by with this. Nobody will really know.
Everybody's doing it.
You know it yourself, for one thing. Your own spirit will condemn you. Faith is faithfulness to God's word. Faith is a spiritual force. Faith comes from God. God and His Word are one. John 1:1. Well, no matter what translation you get, I've never found any of them that says it any different than that. A born-again Christian walking in the ways of the Lord will be faithful to God and His Word.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's abnormal not to be. Psalm, you don't have to go here right now. Just got two here I want to point out. Psalm 89, verse 8b in the Living Bible. says faithfulness is your very character. And the psalmist is talking to God. He's talking to God. So he's saying that your very character or your nature is faithfulness. And that's what we're talking about. When talking about the fruit of the Spirit, you're talking about His nature, who He is. The Living Bible says faithfulness is your very character. The Amplified Classic on the same verse says your faithfulness is round about you, an essential part of you at all times. That would be the same as being His character. Most of them says you are surrounded with faithfulness when it talks about God, which is still basically the same thing. I went through several translations, and that they say surrounded by faithfulness. But either way, faithfulness is God. You know, but I like that Living Bible there. One, it's His very character, because that's what we're talking about. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's His character, His very nature. God is faithful. He is always continuously faithful to His Word. He cannot deny Himself. God and His Word are one. He cannot deny Himself. 2 Timothy 2:11. This is New King James. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Notice who's making the choices. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. See, everything else that He listed there is according to what we do. But when it comes to being faithful or faithless, He has to remain faithful. He remains faithful even when we are not. But if we deny Him, He denies us. You know, so there's things that he does the same thing we do. Whatever we do, he'll do likewise towards us, but not where faithfulness is concerned. He remains faithful. Thank God He does, because if we're faithless, we can change that. As long as God is faithful, we can change and become faithful. We don't have to remain faithless. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. I love that. 1,000 generations. A generation is considered 40 years. Or a lifetime of a guy. A generation. 40 years. Wow. Well, what's 40 years times 1,000?
40,000. There have not yet been 40,000.
No. And Jesus is coming before 40,000 is up. But what does that mean? It means that it's endless. It means that it will never end. His faithfulness to His covenant. He keeps His covenant. He's faithful. He keeps covenant and mercy. So His mercy is in the same 1,000 generations. Thank God. With those who love Him and keep His commandments. He's not obligated to those that do not.
That do not love Him.
Yeah. According to that scripture there. Psalm 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. There's a little bit in there, several things in there. The Lord preserves the faithful. So when we walk in faithfulness, He preserves us. When trouble comes our way, when problems or issues come our way, He preserves us. He takes care of us. He sees to it that we're all right. He preserves us. But then it says, and fully repays the proud person. What does that mean? You know, pride goes before a fall. Mm-hmm. He hates pride. Mm-hmm. He fully repays him. In other words, He's not for that proud person. Doesn't mean this proud person's going to benefit. Because see, he cannot be proud. Pride is self-centered. It's always about you. But the faithful person is always about someone else. The pride is always towards self. That's what it's all about. And that's why God hates it. It's self-centered. It's not love. So the person that's faithful, he's other-centered. He's walking in love because faithfulness flows from love. You can't be faithful and be self-centered at the same time. And that's what God says. If you're self-centered, walking in pride, you are not going to be faithful. You're not going to be. Then he says, be of good courage. So in other words, to me, when it's, he put that in the very next verse, because this faithful person is going to have to be of good courage. In order to walk in faithfulness, he's going to have courage to do it. Be of good courage, and he, God, shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. The proud person will not hope in the Lord. But this guy does. So God will preserve him and he will strengthen him so that he can continue to walk in faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Paul is praying. This is a prayer from Paul. He's praying this over the Thessalonians. But then in verse 24 he says, he who calls you, which is God, is faithful, who also will do it. He's saying God will preserve you. He will sanctify you. Spirit, soul, and body. He will sanctify you and preserve you blameless. I mean, you're involved in this. You have to be faithful. You have to walk with Him. But He will preserve you. This is where we get the tripart being of man. Spirit, soul, and body. See, he didn't say, may he preserve your spirit or your soul. He says, spirit, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. Tripart being, separated entities. We are a spirit. That's who we are. Michael's a spirit. I live in a body. Mm-hmm. That's my house. Mm-hmm. And I have a soul, which is my mind, emotions, and will. The soul basically connects between the body and the spirit. It's a connection, communication center. But we are a spirit. The spirit lives eternally. Our body does not. So we need to, it's important that we understand that. That's why Romans 8 talks about being spiritually minded. Or governed by your spirit man, by the real you. Not carnally minded, which is a soulish carnal nature, which is death. You're ruled by your soul, by your mind, emotions, and will, instead of being ruled by your spirit man. You have to make that choice, which you want. And some people are body ruled, and that's totally out of line. All the body is a house. So God will, if I'm faithful, He will preserve me. He's faithful to do that. He said He would. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, mm-hmm. saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So here we see the faithfulness of God, and we see the faithfulness of Abraham. God could swear by no one higher. There's no, because God's God. There's nobody. Normally you swear by something or someone higher than you, or something that has a way of controlling this. They used to swear by the temple. They'd swear by the emperor, swear by their money, whatever, you know.
Jesus actually tells us, though, not to swear by anything, but let
that's what he said, yes.
And our no be no.
Yes.
Some people swear on a stack of Bibles.
Yes.
Well, they make you do that when you go to court.
But here,
well, they're not stacked, but
here God himself is swearing. What that means here in this case is he's making covenant. Mm-hmm. We had earlier, he keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. So he's making covenant here with Abraham. He said, I'm swearing by myself. In other words, if I lie, I'm done. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? If God ceases to exist, what happens?
Everything stops.
Everything stops. I mean, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, I will cease to exist if I lie. You can't get any stronger than that. Mm-hmm. For God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Mm-hmm. Saying, surely. Now, we look for absolutes here, don't we? Surely is an absolute. Mm-hmm. Surely blessing I will. That's another absolute. Bless you. And multiplying I will multiply you. Mm-hmm. And so, after he, Abraham, had patiently endured. So we see he had to endure. It wasn't something that just happened. Abraham had a part to play in this.
Oh, yeah.
See, if even though God swore all of that, nothing would happen unless Abraham done his part.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to be faithful. He had to endure. But notice, patiently. Now, patience is what? A fruit. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that earlier. Abraham had faith in what God said. And in that blood covenant. He had faith in that.
Romans 4 says he was fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
Romans
4.
Now, what else is involved here? It's not said, but it's involved in this because it's one of those things that's mentioned and present, but not, it's present, but not mentioned. After he patiently endured. So we see faith, the faith of Abraham applied to what God said. Uh-huh. Then we see Abraham's hope way out there. Uh-huh. Because he had absolute, earnest expectation.
Uh-huh. Absolute, I love that. Absolute earnest.
See, that's godly hope. So we see Abraham functioning here in faith applied to the Word, God's Word. Mm-hmm. We see hope working instantly. Then we see patience pulling the two together. Mm-hmm. Abraham could have applied the faith. Mm-hmm. Hope could have started working. Mm-hmm. But if he wasn't patient, they both stopped working. Mm-hmm. Even though God said it would take place, it will not take place because Abraham didn't use those three. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. You know how powerful that is? Jesus has the name above all names.
Yes.
But yet, God has taken the Word and magnified it above the name. That's how powerful this Word is. That's how faithful God is. That's how faithful this Word is. He has magnified, says, "For you have magnified your Word above all your name." Can we rely on this Word? If that Scripture is true, we can. That's where we get the fact that this Word is absolute truth. It cannot lie. It's absolute truth. "For you have magnified your Word above all your name." The faithfulness of the Word. Psalm 119, 89. "Forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides." It lives. It abides. "Your faithfulness endures to all generations." Now, that may or may not take it beyond the 1,000 generations. I don't know. However many there's going to be. Only God knows that. But His faithfulness endures to all generations. Then it says, "Your Word is settled in heaven forever." You have magnified your Word above all your name. Above all your name. Glory be to God. That's, amen. That's the God we serve. Psalm 100 verse 5. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endures to all generations." Pretty close to what it said in Psalm 119, isn't it? Joshua 21. I like the way this puts this. And verse 43. "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which He had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that He had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand." I love this part. "Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass."
Amen, amen, amen.
I love that. I just love that. It shows the faithfulness of God. "Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." Everything that God has ever said has, is, or will come to pass. There's not one word will ever fail. We can also say not a word failed.
Not
one word failed. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. All of these are talking about the faithfulness of the Lord. But as we talk about the faithfulness of the Lord, we need to remember it's talking about us too. Because this is the way we're supposed to be living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is who we are. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one."
Amen.
You can take that scripture as an absolute. You can take it when you're in trouble and you say, "Lord, your word says that you will establish me and you will guard me from the evil one."
Mm-hmm.
Who's the evil one? The devil. "Father, I thank you that in this time of trouble I'm walking in right now, this word is true. You will guard me and keep me from the evil one. And I thank you for it, Lord. And it doesn't matter how bad the problem is. He said he would do it. He is faithful. That's one of those scriptures you can use when you're standing on something, standing for something. This is the Amplified Classic, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. For no temptation, the word no, that means zero, doesn't it? For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. I love that. For one thing, God did not give you the trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
He's taken care of you in it and through it.
Right.
He didn't bring it up. Chances are you built it yourself.
Yeah, amen.
You know.
Amen. We make our own problems.
Yeah. Last, I don't have it right now. I believe it's in Isaiah 41. I read it last week. That it's in there. It says that he will harden you to difficulties.
Yeah.
I think it's, I could go back, but I don't want to move my spot. I think I can find it later if you want. It's, I think it's Isaiah 41. It's in that area. Isaiah 41:10, I think, but I'm not sure. But it says that he will... it says there's nothing to fear. It's Amplified Classic, so it won't read the same in the other one exactly. But the Amplified Classic says there's nothing to fear. And then at the end of it, it says, I will harden you to difficulties. That's what God does. He hardens us to the place where we can walk right through anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I love that verse in the Amplified Classic. Psalm 31:23 and the first part of it. A. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. I read part of that earlier, I think. But the Lord preserves the faithful. Our faithfulness is extremely important in our walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Being faithful is something that we need to really focus on. Are we faithful in our walk? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful. This is the Amplified Classic, so I got it up there for you. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise. And he can be depended on. By him, you were called into companionship and participation with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I like that one too. It talks about the faithfulness of God. It talks about his character being reliable, trustworthy, and ever true to his promise. He can be depended on. You know, if I know that, when I go to this word, I can take it for exactly what it says. It puts doubt completely out. See, I can use this scripture and others like it with God's faithfulness. I can use it as a defense against doubt. It can increase my ability to stand. It can increase my faith. It can increase my prayer life. Because if I've got his promise, this is what he said. Mm-hmm. I can rely on it. Now, I may not understand why it's not coming to pass in my time frame, mm-hmm. but it will. Mm-hmm. If I don't abort it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times we do things that we hinder or prevent God from completing a work. And we say he didn't do it. He did. Mm-hmm. I done something. I've got unforgiveness working. I got strife working. I've not spent any time. I'm not being patient with it. I've start questioning it. Mm-hmm. All of these things will hinder that word from coming to pass. If I start wondering, well, I know it says that, but I'm not seeing anything. What is that? Mm-hmm. That's doubt. That's doubt. And the moment that comes up, you do warfare with it. No. No. Mm-hmm. God's faithful. His word is true. You have to speak that out against that to change that mind up there. Otherwise, you'll meditate on the thing not happening. And got what the enemy's done, he's pulled you away from the word and he's made you sense-oriented. You move from spiritually minded on the word to carnally minded on the circumstance.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
You're focusing on the circumstance, not on the word. Mm-hmm. So that moves you away. And see, that's Satan's goal. He will always try to get you to wonder. To doubt. That pulls you away. Yes. And if you don't do battle with it, you'll start, that process of doubt will start growing. And before long, oh, I knew God wouldn't do anything for me. After all, look what I've done. You're born again? Yeah. Well, that's a dead man. Mm. And, well, I've done some things since then. Well, did you repent of it? Mm. Yeah. Then you're cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's what the word says, 1 John 1:9. So you don't have any problem. It's not based on what you did there. You're clean. If you got anything else, repent of it. And get this thing back working again. Don't let the devil put you in the ditch blaming you for something that's already taken care of.
Excuse me.
He don't want you to know it's taken care of. He doesn't want you to know that. After all, God, I mean, he helps some people and he doesn't help others. That doesn't even make sense, does it? To us. But to some people, if those things start coming up in your mind, maybe you've lived up 74 years. Well, I've had some experiences where I've wondered.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
If you're human, you're going to, but you have to do battle with it. And I didn't know I had to. We don't know these things if we don't understand that God is faithful. If it's not working, it's never God. And it's never his word. It's something I'm off center somewhere. Or it's been delayed by something I'm doing or not doing. Or I'm not accurate.
Mm-hmm, right.
Or it's just simply not time yet. It's in process. Mm-hmm. I can hurry the thing along by being faithful. And by staying with the word and doing combat to those attacks on my brain. That's what that helmet of salvation is for. To keep those arrows from going into our helmet, going into our mind.
Yeah.
That helmet is supposed to protect our mind. Helmet of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Soteria. That's what that word is there for salvation. It means all-inclusive. Whatever he purchased on that cross is yours. But you got to claim it. This character here, reliable, trustworthy, ever true to his promise, dependent, can be depended on. That's supposed to be us.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly the way that we should be living our lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we should be showing to the world around us. They should know Kathy's faithful. She's going to do what she says she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll go beyond what she says she'll do.
Right.
She's faithful. Mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we are. A faithful person is a person of honor. They can be depended on. They are steadfast and consistent. They are faithful, honorable, trustworthy, and can be depended upon even when doing a job that they do not like or want to do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Now, can a person not born again be that way? But like I said earlier, yes, but it's rare, especially in the times we're living in. But you should be able to identify the Christian by that. Mm-hmm. Not only by their love, but without the love, they're not going to do this. Because it all flows from love. Luke 16:10. This is Jesus talking. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Everything's based on this. Think, well, what is mammon? Most people don't know what mammon is. It's bread. No, it's not bread. It's riches, wealth, or the God of riches. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be of. Mm-hmm. That's what mammon basically means, money. It doesn't mean that it's bad. Mm-hmm. It can be bad or good. But it's a God to you if that's where your focus is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be. You can be faithful in mammon. Mm-hmm. But most people aren't. You know, they think more of the mammon than they do of their walk with God. For one thing, if they're faithful with mammon and it's not a God to them, then they're givers. Mm-hmm. They're givers. They have the money. The money doesn't have them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what God's talking about the rich young ruler when Jesus was talking to him. That's what he's talking about. He didn't mean he wouldn't have riches. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And then you'll have true riches in heaven. If he actually did that, mm-hmm. the laws of prosperity in the Bible, mm-hmm. what those Jews lived by, mm-hmm. he would have at least doubled what he gave away.
Yeah.
But he would have had true riches with God.
What's that?
He would be doing it with love. See, there'd be love behind. But he left sad because he had great wealth. What's that tell you about him? The wealth had him.
The three rules of prosperity: faithful in a little, given much.
Yes.
Faithful in that which is another's, given that which is your own. Faithful in money, given true riches.
Yes.
People who are miserable and they're ill and you know, their family's all mad at them, and there's no peace in their home.
No. But the principle of the kingdom is what you sow, that will you reap. Yes. That comes from the garden, all the way through. Mm-hmm. It's a principle. And if you sow money in love, not only are you going to reap money based on that, a hundredfold return, it says, you're going to also reap love in abundance.
Yeah.
And thanksgiving to God in much. 2 Corinthians 9:6-12. You know, there's so many principles that we overlook. Prosperity gospel. Well, what do you want? A debt gospel? Poverty gospel?
Or broke gospel?
No. The kingdom of God is full of prosperity from one end to the other. It's prospering in whatever you have need of. Money, health, family, whatever it is, nothing broken, nothing missing. You know, if I'm going on a missions trip, Mm-hmm. I want to be prosperous in that missions trip.
Sure.
What's prosperity there? Completing the mission. People saved, delivered, whatever it might be. That's prosperity there. Mm-hmm. That's prospering mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. If I have an illness, prosperity there is health. Mm-hmm. So it's an all-inclusive term. Don't jump in the ditch over that word prosperity. There's a lot of uses of it in the Bible where it's not used with money at all.
Yeah.
Ones give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring into your bosom. Mm-hmm. I can't tear that page out. You know, I'm not going to. mm-hmm. I'm going to sow as much seed as I can sow. Mm-hmm. Well, Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for the anointing on tonight. I really enjoyed this time and so thankful for those that were able to come tonight and pray for those who were not. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon this word as others receive it. We are sowing this word, not only into ourselves and into this group here, but into whoever receives it over the internet or over CDs or through our personal walk as we walk through our daily life. We're sowing the seed of the word. And we're thankful, Father, that this word as a seed is bringing forth harvest in abundance in our lives so that we can share it with others. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.